from WXXI News. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in February when a local woman was awarded a grant. A project developed by Rosa Curtis was granted $50,000 from the Rochester Monroe Anti-Poverty Initiative. The project, called The Hangout Spot, will provide overnight and late shift child care for working parents. Speaking with WROC, Curtis said, quote, "It's all about increasing the opportunity for parents to go to work, and then we can stop confusing can't work with don't have proper care to go back to work," end quote. Curtis is a graduate of the Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute, or PLTI. The initiative helps parents develop skills and knowledge on how to navigate community, school, and governmental systems so they can make their voices heard. Training includes classes on diversity, the intentional use of language, understanding how local systems work, the functions of the family, and how to use the media effectively. PLTI's graduates have seen success in a variety of areas, from project development to changing policies in schools, even runs for office. PLTI 2017 graduate Ricardo Adams was a winner of the Democratic primary for Rochester City School Board last month. This year, many communities across the nation have seen a surge of parent involvement in a number of areas. And we wanted to sit down with local parents to hear about their stories. A lot of success stories. We're going to talk about how they, working with the PLTI, have become change agents in our community. We'll also talk to them about a range of issues affecting families, including a possible state takeover of the city school district, restorative practices in schools, anti-bullying efforts, and more. And I'd like to welcome our guest for the hour. Luva Alvarez is the Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute alumnus and the site coordinator. Luva, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Manish Dixit is an interim initiative director of the Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute and a graduate win, Manish.
Graduate in 2013-2014, the second cohort.
Oh, very good. Second cohort. Has it been that long? Wow. Congratulations. Welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Also with us is May Abdullah, who is a Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute graduate. May, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for having me.
And Aaron Taylor is also a graduate. Great to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
You have, in this country, more teachers running for office than we've seen in a long time, more parents getting involved in their communities. Luva, what's going on? What are you seeing right now in our community in terms of engagement? Why are so many people doing something like PLTI?
I think people or parents are looking for a way to get information or to build the skills to become better leaders. They're looking for opportunities to have a voice, to learn how to get a voice so they can have a seat at the table. It's a surge right now that where parents really are saying, hey, I need to be sitting at the table at school districts, conversations, school boards, city councils, because our children matter. And if you can't come to us as parents and find out what we have to say and hear from us, then how are you building upon that to say what's good for our kids and what's not good for our kids?
Mm-hmm. Manish, how do you see it? Why do you think that we've seen so much involvement right now?
I think it's the realization that parents have the power to make changes in the community and improve the outcomes for the children. And even though they may not have a title or a job that gives them the responsibility and the authority, they still have the ability to speak up for changes. And the other reason, I think, is a lot of the conversations that the different communities are having, they're realizing that the issues that they're facing for their children are similar to the issues that other parents are facing as well.
I don't want to paint government as sort of filled with people who just don't want to listen or who don't want to do the right thing, or will ignore voters or parents or community members. But I think it's more, Manish, I think it's a case of, number one, you often hear members of city councils or town boards or school boards say, nobody even shows up at the meetings. That's just the first step, is being there. But then it's one thing to go to a meeting and raise your voice or complain. It's another to actually learn media training and to learn how to interact and how to organize. Because, I don't think it's the government or school boards, et cetera, don't want to do the right thing. Sometimes it's a matter of finding a way to get in the door in the first place to help people see, you know, here are some changes that could really impact us. Do you see it that way? Or how do you see sort of the relationship of our communities, parents, citizens with local governments?
Yes, so that's a good point. I think some of it also has to do with the format. So I live in Brighton, and when I go to either the Board of Education meeting or the town government meeting, the format is set up in a way that almost, prevents the parents from being able to come in, understand the process, and see how best can they participate in it. And then a lot of it also has to do with, like you said, what skills are needed. So if they understand how systems function, where is the ability for them to be in a participatory model that helps them do that. But I think this is a larger change that I'm seeing. So the in my experience, I haven't seen a lot of organizations work in such a participatory way that the parents are asking for now. There are certain formats that have been put in place decades ago, and those formats are still being followed. So to give you an example, we tried in the town of Brighton, a recent Board of Education meeting where instead of having the format that the Board of Ed representatives are sitting on one side of the table and all the parents and the town residents are sitting on the other side, they decided to have it set up in a way where we were sitting in a circle. So everybody had an opportunity to speak. So some of those things, and then the other thing is how different organizations look at the role of parents and how they can see throughout the year, what are some of the ways that they can partner with parents in the community and not just deliver certain outcomes to them, but take the parents along with them on the journey.
Well, and before we dive into some of the actual success stories and the work that parents have been doing, Luva, why don't you tell us what kind of the basic setup is for PLTI, how often you do training, how many parents are involved, and how people can get involved if they want to.
So the basic process to this is that we try to recruit at least 25 parents to be part of our program, and it is a group of parents that is very diverse, that is done intentionally diverse. We have a makeup of parents from all of the Monroe County area. We meet every single Monday for this class for 21 weeks for about 4 hours, so it is a commitment, but it's worth the commitment when you finish and you graduate from the class.
Okay, and if you want to try to get involved, parents need to do what?
So actually today we have a informational session tonight at the Rochester Central Library at the Kate Gleason Auditorium from 5:30 to 7, where parents can come in today and learn more about PLTI. So it's a little mini session of what they'll be getting a taste of. Parents have the opportunity to come in, meet other alum, talk with other me and Manish, and then also be able to get an interview.
5:30 tonight.
Yep.
The Kate Gleason Auditorium mm-hmm. of the Rochester Public Library.
The Central Library.
The Central Library. And for parents thinking, it's hard enough to find childcare. How am I going to go to trainings or events? I know you've thought about that.
So what is very dynamic and cool about the PLTI program is that we provide free childcare as well. I don't want to call it childcare. It's actually, we have a parallel program called the Children Leadership Institute program. So it's basically the same thing what the parents are doing week to week, the kids are doing too as well. They're learning leadership skills, public skills, civic skills as well. And we provide transportation too as well and a dinner every single Monday for free.
That is important for parents who are trying to navigate a lot of different things mm-hmm. and make sure their kids are in a good place. So,
yes.
So there's some information for you. Okay, well, let's start with Erin. I want to talk to Erin about her story in terms of how you got involved with PLTI and some of the things that you focused on. So how did you learn about PLTI in the first place?
Well, in 2016, myself and my children were displaced. And during that process, I found myself having to advocate a lot. And I was coming into contact with a lot of people in the community. And I believe it was someone from ACT Rochester who eventually steered me in the direction of PLTI. We just had a conversation and I shared with her my heart for advocacy, just generally. So in November 2016, myself and my youngest son joined PLTI, and the focus of my projects were, and really still are, disparate impact within subsidized housing, and also to focus on to address anti-bullying policies within my son's school. we were having some issues dealing with some, it was actually a lot of bullying at a school, and I just...
How old was he?
He was, at the time, I believe he was 10. And so I felt like I was fighting by myself. And during the training, I just really started to understand how to advocate, how to build a network and resources, and how to reach out. And so I kind of built my own personal network with people. I joined with parent engagement and with a school counselor and with a parent liaison. And we kind of came together and really addressed and enforced those policies within the school to make it a healthier learning environment, not just for myself, for my son, but for other students as well, at least in his class. That was the focus.
Erin, I want to return to the bullying and the anti-bullying efforts in a moment, but the backdrop here that I find really remarkable is you're getting involved with PLTI at a time of change and challenge in your life. You talk about being displaced.
Yes.
You have enough to figure out on a daily basis, let alone attending meetings and figuring out, what it means to be part of this organization. I mean, I find that deeply admirable and very, very, I'm sure, very difficult. What was life like for you? I mean, when you're trying to figure out where you go next, what housing is available, what was life like?
Life was very tough. It was a very tough process, but I come from a household of a bunch of military folk. And, my grandfather was an armed guard. I came from a household where, you did your best, and if you could, you help others in the process, so that not only are you helping yourself, but you're helping your community. I personally do not want people to struggle in the ways that I have struggled. And so even though I've gone through the things that I've gone through, while I'm getting better and while I'm progressing, I try to pull people up with me or try to inform them so that they don't have to go through those things. And so, it was tough. It was a very tough process at certain times, but there's just something within me that I definitely have a fighter within me.
Did you find places for you and your son to be, to live?
Oh, yes, I did. I did. We have a very stable home. We're in a very, very stable position right now. I'm very happy with where we are.
What did you need to learn about, for example, or what do you think people in our community need to learn about, alleviating homelessness, subsidized housing? What did you have to kind of figure out, and what do you think the community needs?
Honestly, I'm still trying to figure some things out. I guess I was shocked when I realized that, especially for subsidized housing, that credit worthiness was something that was what would even be considered when applying for subsidized housing, when you're providing housing for families who have low or no income. So, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. I have worked through some channels with HUD to better understand that, but definitely it's a major issue. It's one that I'm still trying to understand.
The credit worthiness part?
Yes.
Do you feel like that excludes people?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I find it to be honestly absurd to expect someone who has little to no income to also have a decent credit score or report. I would honestly assume that they may not have the best, credit report or score, being in that kind of situation, and that you would leave room for that. I've known people who have gone into subsidized housing and really turned their credit around and their financial situation around once they've actually gotten into subsidized housing, because then they were able to afford the things they needed and were able to pay their bills and all those sort of things. So,
But for now, it looks like things are pretty solid for you.
Yes, definitely. But I still think about the community. There are so many, I pass by so many homeless people, so many displaced people, and it just saddens me, and it saddens my son. And so it's not something that I could just put down because I'm okay.
It sounds like, you know, you've done a number of different projects, sort of these parallel goals, anti-bullying. You're also working on housing. And it sounds like political leaders would need to hear from someone like you who says, look, you know, this program or this initiative is aimed at helping people who have maybe struggled with poverty or other issues. And yet, if the requirement is they have to have a Sterling credit score, you're going to help just about nobody. Nobody's going to be eligible. And I imagine that takes some time to help illustrate to leaders. How do you feel it's going?
It is definitely something that takes time. I believe it also takes a group of people to really come together. It's not something that you can, for me personally, it's not something that I can take on by myself. I have gone through some channels, like I said, with HUD, but I have not seen any movement in that area. And so I would definitely, you know, at this point, I'm definitely willing to even collaborate with some other people in the community to address this issue, to figure out a better way to approach it.
Now, let's talk a little bit about bullying. When did that first kind of come into your mind as an issue with your child?
Well, my children have, they've been in the city school district for many years, and bullying was always an issue. It just, it really just got, it kind of progressed and just got worse as the years went by. And as my children got older, especially with my youngest son and him dealing with some weight issues and that sort of thing. And that was like a really big, that was a really big trigger for him. So I say a few years ago, my son was at a different school, and I worked very closely with the parent liaison. And so I think it softened some of the blow there. She was a dynamic leader in the school. And so we were able to really collaborate. She helped me with resources and just other ways to get around the system to provide the safety and all that I needed for my son. But she ended up leaving the school, and I didn't have that resource in the school building. And so the issues just, it came to a point where I had to go to the district and have my son removed from the school. And then he moved to what was considered the best school within the city, and there were issues in that school as well. And so...
Can I just, before you jump ahead here, as a parent, how did it hit you? I mean, I've had only one time I've gotten a phone call about, you know, an incident with my son and being on the receiving end of a little bit of bullying. And it was an incident that, you know, we were able to get past in one day. But it still took my breath away. You know, just the way, we ache for our kids.
Yes.
And for you to kind of go to a school thinking, okay, change scenery, and then to encounter that again.
Yes.
What was that like for you?
It was heartbreaking, to tell you the truth, because it was really bad. It was a physical assault from a student he had no dealings with. It was a brand new school. I think it was within the first week of him attending the school, attending that new school, and it just never got better. And then, honestly, I found out some months later that the reports were not going to the parent liaison in the new school. She had no knowledge of the incidents happening. She had, because apparently in that school they have, when there's issues of bullying, it's supposed to be reported to the parent liaison. It never happened. And I received a lot of pushback. And because of that, and just having this training of PLTI, and just being immersed in that weekly, it was just like, oh no, I have to do something, and I can do something. And I just figured out how to maneuver within the district and within the school, I realized that I can't expect everyone to help. And I probably shouldn't expect everyone to help, mm-hmm. but there is someone who cares. And I realized that, you know, and I found people within the actual district and people within his school who were willing to back me.
Who were your biggest allies?
I have to say the parent liaison, and her name escapes me right now, but the parent liaison at my son's school, his counselor, and I went to parent engagement. And so the folks in parent engagement really, really helped as well. It was everyone in that office helped. Whenever I had an issue, I could call, and things were rectified within a day.
And what has changed the most since you started advocating?
For my son, he's currently being homeschooled. For that year, things definitely turned around. And I had those resources and I had that network, but it's for him, it was overwhelming. And so I pulled him and just decided to homeschool him. And that's what we do right now. We've played with the idea of him returning to the district. But he's not ready
okay.
for that.
And have you learned enough, both in your experience, but also through PLTI, that if he goes back to the district, you're going to be able to advocate in more effective ways, you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are things that some standards and some requirements and things that I have in place prior to him even touching the grounds. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And what do you think the message really is for all schools that are dealing with bullying? What do you want to see change?
I think they need to take the complaints seriously. It affects children's emotional well-being. When a child is in a situation where they don't feel safe, it can affect their performance. And not only that, it doesn't just affect the children, it affects staff members as well. I have very close relationships with many teachers and staff and from administration down, and there are people who have disclosed many personal things with me, and there are teachers who are afraid, quite frankly. So, mm-hmm. you know, I would really hope that they take it a little bit more seriously than they do and really report it.
And when we say PLTI is the Parent Leadership Training Institute, what did you take most from PLTI?
Oh, there is so much. Just the sense of community, backing, knowing that you're not fighting alone, you're not addressing, and not even, I won't even necessarily say fighting, you're just, you know, addressing issues, you don't have to do it alone. There are networks, there are resources, and they just give you a sense of, you know, just dignity and pride within PLTI, and you know, it really strengthens you. I definitely feel, like I said, I've always loved advocacy, but for me, it helped me to understand it, and I gained a lot of knowledge, and it also widened my reach within the community. And I didn't realize how much of we're like a family. We are definitely very, very close. And so it's just been such a blessing.
We're talking to Erin Taylor, who is a graduate of PLTI, and we're talking about parent engagement and what works and how parents can learn to kind of navigate sometimes government, sometimes schools, sometimes media, and sometimes just organizing in their own communities about how to actually and effectively make change happen. That's Erin's story. After our only break of the hour, we're going to talk to May Abdullah, who is also a Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute graduate. Luva Alvarez and Manish Dixit are here from PLTI as well. And we're sharing these stories about what parents can do in their own communities next. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, a conversation about the future of Parcel 5 in Rochester. It still sits vacant, but there are some new ideas floating in the community about what happens next what it could be modeled after. We'll talk about it first hour. Second hour, the Summer of Food looks at food as art. The chefs behind some of the most creative creations in Western New York. Talk with you on Thursday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. So May Abdullah is a Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute graduate. Graduate when? 2018.
2018, yes.
So just about a year, just over a year ago.
Yes.
How did you hear about PLTI?
From your show.
Oh.
So this is a full circle for me.
Well.
Yes.
That's always gratifying to hear. Yeah. And I will say, and I'm not at all involved directly with PLTI, but I've been out a couple of times just to talk to parents about just interacting with the media, and I certainly appreciate the approach and what PLTI is doing, because it can be very difficult. I mean, there are times where you think, I have this idea or this cause or this need in my neighborhood, in my street, in my community. How come no one's listening? How do I get anybody's attention? And that can be a challenge. So yes. So I've been happy to talk to PLTI about that, and I'm glad to know people are listening, because we've talked to PLTI in the program before. So you heard about PLTI, and you just started going to meetings or going to get trained? Or
what drew me to PLTI, that the first thing that they recognize parents as change agents. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but they remove the barriers that sometimes stand in the way of parents to be engaged, providing child care. It's free. It's dinner. So I was like, this is for me. That's exactly what I was looking for, because I'm a parent of three kids, and my youngest son has autism. So I've been not only his parent, but his advocate at school and his community. As any other parent, I wanted what's best for him. I wanted him to participate in our community events. We have this wonderful recreation center that was just opened. I would take my daughters there. But there was nothing for him. He would just sit on the sidelines with me. They didn't have any program that geared towards kids with different needs, not necessarily with special needs or disabilities, just kids who don't really want to play competitive sports. So I knew I had the passion and the motivation, but I didn't know how to do this. So when I joined PLTI, the first thing I researched programs around the community. I surveyed parents to know, okay, there is actually a need. So if this opens, would parents participate? Would they bring their children? So I wanted to be prepared. When I approached the recreation director about the idea, she was very perceptive. She came on board right away. But there were other issues around it, like there's money, liability issues. So we started with two programs. They added a crafts program, a clay making program, and a adaptive yoga program. And the significance of those programs or those activities is it's in our community. He sees neighborhood kids there, kids who go to school with him there, and that helps with his self-esteem, because I wanted him to be able to lead in happy and independent life, and to have that feeling of belonging to this community. This is his community. This is where he goes to shop and play and have fun with kids like him. And it's actually, that's what PLTI did for me. It gave me those tools to do that. It reaffirmed my belief that I am his advocate. I could do this. I just needed the skills, the tools to help me with that. And so that's what I got from PLTI.
And what does it mean to you to know that people actually are listening and that you can make things move?
Yes, this is what I've been telling parents. Like, I didn't necessarily go to school. I wasn't familiar with the school systems here. So for me to actually join the program and not only be advocate for my kids, I'm actually an advocate for all the kids. I actually joined this Russian Riata School Board last year because I knew that I have something to offer. And with the help of PLTI, what I learned from it, it gave me those skills to help me make a difference. So I encourage parents to actually join. And the program is designed to meet every parent at their level. It's not something that's difficult to do. It's in the evening. It's 4 hours. What you gain out of it is not only the skills, but you gain peer support, you have mentors. I have a list of people on my phone that I reach out to when I need to run ideas and I want advice or to meet up to share. And it's not just we work on our project, we work on other projects because it kind of like a stepping stone for us to do more.
How's your son doing now?
He's doing wonderful. He's great. He just finished sixth grade. He's moving to seventh grade, middle school. I think I'm more nervous than him.
And you said you started with clay making, adaptive yoga.
Yes.
Why those specific areas?
Because we wanted to provide something that has a calming effect for kids. So that's the clay making. And the adaptive yoga, because we know kids with disabilities, they enjoy that. My son loved yoga, doing yoga at school sometimes when they offer it. So, yeah.
And now, do you feel that he's in, what you say, sixth grade?
He finished sixth grade,
sixth grade. You know, I mean, certainly as he goes throughout the rest of his adolescence and into adulthood, you'll encounter other issues as you see them. Do you feel more prepared to deal with them now?
I do. I do feel that. And I do feel that I have the skills to, and I've been faced, when you are a parent of a kid with special needs, you get a lot of doors slammed in your face, but you don't stop advocating for them. You just find a way to do it, because you have the will to help. And PLTI helped me. Okay, so if this doesn't work, I have to have another plan. I learned how to build a coalition around the cause. I used the networking. The networks I have, the people I met, like the guests we had guest speakers, we had people come in and talk to us about like how to approach legislators and policymakers. I feel that parents, you don't wait for things to change. You take the first step and you see other parents, they will join you if you just open the door for them.
Well, when you say that you've had doors slammed in your face, and you are not the first parent of a child with special needs to tell us exactly that, why do you think the system does that? I mean, when we talk about the system is made up of people, whether it's in government, whether it's in schools or neighborhoods. Why do you think that happens so often?
I think sometimes people are resistant to change because things have been done the same way for a long time. So change always requires more effort, more time, and more resources, like financial resources. And people are resistant to that. If I can't tell a teacher to change something if I'm not providing them with the time and the resources to do that, if I'm asking my rec center to establish a program like that, I need to do the research first. I need to start somewhere and provide them with like, okay, I'm going to reach out to a local organization that provides funds or grants. So the parent have to be willing to do the work, but also don't give up. You have to keep on it.
And there will be parents listening right now who are thinking about things that they want to change. Sometimes it's they can't stand how fast the traffic goes when summer camps are on in their street and they just want a sign put up and no one listens, or a speed bump and no one listens. Sometimes it's drugs in the neighborhood and they want more attention, and everything in between. Safe play options for kids. But they feel like people don't listen. What's your message for parents?
Reach out to people around you, other parents in your neighborhood, in your streets. Reach out to legislators and businesses in your community, and keep doing it and keep approaching and keep on it, calling. And I remember when I started involving with my kids' schools, like volunteering, it's another parent who, because I used to get those sheets to ask me to volunteer, but I wasn't even sure that's something, an option for me. But when a parent approached me and asked me to come chaperone a field trip, I jumped right in because I knew that parent. No matter how old you are, you want that familiar face to get you to the event. If you wanted to come to school, if you see a parent that you knew, you feel more comfortable. And you feel if the teacher asked you to chaperone, personally asked you, that would help encourage. So I encourage parents to actually reach out to parents. If you want to come approach the school about something that you you think you it needs to be improved upon, reach out to other parents.
Would you tell them to try PLTI?
Oh, yes. it's a life-changing experience for me. I would not be here, actually, if it wasn't for... I knew I had the passion and the motivation to advocate for my kids, but I lacked the confidence. I didn't think that I could do it. But if, I remember the first time we had to do a presentation every 2 weeks, and I remember I had like 74 index cards for a three-minute presentation because I was so nervous. By the end of the program, I had to give an update. Not only I didn't have those index cards, I was cracking jokes. I was so comfortable. So I encourage parents to do it. It's a great program.
When you're talking about PLTI, it's the Parent Leadership Training Institute, and the Greater Rochester chapter is represented here with Luva Alvarez, who is an alumnus and the site coordinator. Manish Dixit is an interim initiative director and also a second cohort graduate. You said back in what, 2013, 2014?
That's right.
Remind us here as we go all the way back for you, what was your story? Why did you reach out to PLTI in the first place?
I found out about PLTI through an email that was sent out by my daughter's school district. And I didn't grow up in the country. We had recently moved to Brighton, and my daughter was going to school, and I was, you know, hearing her experiences, trying to figure out, you know, what they mean to her and to others, and I started thinking about opportunities where I could participate, and I realized those opportunities were very, limited, or they were structured in a way that said, if you want to help in your daughter's classroom, there's a way to do that. If you want to help the local PTA with the fundraising, there's a way to do that. And other opportunities to help. But when there were things related to, well, how about this new idea? How about this problem? It's a problem that I was realizing it wasn't just what I was seeing with my daughter, it was others that I was hearing about. And then I had challenges understanding how to navigate the different schools, understanding the structure, how the school district functions. And there wasn't an easy way to figure that out. I have a research mindset, so I could, you know, spend hours on the website, but it wasn't coming home to me. And so when I saw that email about parent leadership, you know, in it I saw problem solving, how systems work, how a municipal organization is different than another nonprofit in terms of their structure, and how there are systems that have been designed for so long that, like May said, one, they're used to the pattern in which they work. So they're not, it's not that they're resistant to change. It's just that sometimes they don't even realize that they are not enabling changes to take place.
So 5 years later, are you seeing changes, more changes than were perhaps before you got involved with PLTI?
Absolutely, yes. More changes in every aspect. I see more opportunities in the town of Brighton for parents to come in. A lot of it is also to do with the climate that we're living in. Lots of changes happening. Lots of people saying this is not acceptable. We need to change. And lots of people coming together. And I've seen those positive changes in the town as well as the school district. In a way that they're opening themselves up to say it's not just a small select group of parents that we need to participate with. We are going to cast a wider net and try to include as many voices as we can.
Well, if you want to get involved, there's still ways to do that here. And if you're just joining us as we talk about PLTI, again, it's roughly 25 parents in a cohort. Mm-hmm. Is it correct, Luva?
Correct.
Okay. the next one or the current one, or what's the newest or the next?
The next cohort is, we're currently recruiting for cohort 7, which will begin in October. The class begins October 21st, but we have a day-long retreat on October 19th.
Okay, and so there's something you ought to know about getting information, learning more, which you can do tonight.
Yes, they can come tonight to our Taste of PLTI that we'll be hosting at the Rochester Central Library at the Kate Gleason Auditorium from 5:30 to 7 o'clock p.m. Opportunity to learn more about PLTI, opportunity to apply for it, talk to alum, and hear what we're doing in the community.
What attracted you to it? Remind us.
So I heard about it just like how Manish did in the town of Greece from the former superintendent, Ms. Barbara Dean Williams. I was already active in the school community, but she was new to Greece at that time, and it came across her desk, and she called me up and said, "Hey, I see this great program. I want you to go join it." And I was like, "What? What are you talking about?" And so went to the informational. And loved what they were sharing. You know, they were talking about, like when you said, problem solving, you know, civics, just giving you those tools to be a better advocate. And that was one of the things that attracted me, but then also just the class makeup, the diversity of individuals in the class. That was like phenomenal to see, to sit around a room with 25 people, and we're all from different walks of life, but we all here for one purpose, and that's for our children and our betterment of our community. That was like really eye-opener and just something that just to this day sticks with me. So, you know, I got involved and joined the class. And met some great people, have some great connects, networks. Aaron said, it's like a big family. When we gather together, we just want to be talking and reminiscing and gathering and learning from each other and seeing what you're doing and how can I help. It's a great feeling to have. It's like no program like no other in the city of Rochester. And it's just because of that mission and that vision of what started from Connecticut. Our founder, you know, which Elaine Swall did it, how she said that we have to have a makeup of a room of people who can come from different walks of life because they'll work together and it works in PLTI.
So if you're involved with the next cohort or any future group that goes through PLTI's training, it meets on Monday nights.
Yep, Monday nights from 5:15. Well, you check in at 5:15, but 5:30 is dinner. We intentionally make sure that the families that come together sit with their kids and have dinner before the class begins. And then we go all the way to 8:45.
And how many weeks?
21 weeks.
21 weeks. So it's a commitment.
It is a commitment. Yeah.
And, you're going to cover a wide range of topic areas. Give me the quick list here. I mean, we've talked a little bit about the media and understanding, but what's a quick list of topics that you're going to cover in 21 weeks?
Yeah, I can do that. So roughly the program is split into two phases. The first half of the program focuses on the parents as individuals and focuses more on the process aspect of things. So first, understanding what does change mean to each of us, how race plays a role in different aspects, how to sit with discomfort and navigate difficult conversations, developing listening skills, problem-solving skills, the importance of seeing the community as assets. So if I look at and realize, oh, there's a church in my town, and they offer space that I can ask for having a meeting related to a community issue, that's an asset. So giving parents that perspective, and then moving on to the importance of networks and coalition building, like May touched on. And then the second part focuses more on the content. So we are talking about how program evaluations work, how accountability is established, how are budgets created, what are the different legislative bodies, how is policy made, and how to advocate at different levels. And during this whole 21-week journey, parents are also working on a community project. So right into the third class, we introduce them to an idea of what brought them to PLTI. It was one or two specific things that they wanted to make change on. And we helped them give a structure to it. So we give them a template, and they start with the community project outline. And then starting from class 4 or 5, we ask them to develop a sense of comfort in speaking about it. And then throughout the 15 weeks, it gets them to a point where they have an elevated pitch. They can, as soon as they identify where's a good resource, where they could be heard, they can quickly articulate what is it that they're looking to do.
And by the end of 21 weeks, what's the short answer for what a parent ought to be able to do?
A short answer for what a parent ought to be able to do. I can speak from my perspective and my observations. So a parent ought to be able to quickly understand what's the structure in place for an issue, and how to identify how the system has been created, where decisions are being made, and where allies or friends or supporters could help.
And now I look at the parents in this room, it's interesting. Several times, you know, whether it was Aaron or Luva talking about it feeling like family, it almost looks like a reunion of old friends or even like a high school reunion. You know, it has a little bit of that vibe to it. Is that fair, Luva?
That's fair. Yeah, yeah. It is. It Absolutely. Is.
Do you all feel that way? You feel that way, Aaron?
Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
I mean, do you feel now that even as graduates, if you want to go back and lean on someone or bounce ideas or talk through problems or try to break, is this a place you can go?
Oh, I do it all the time.
You do?
Yes.
May, you said that, yeah?
I have 25 people, not from my cohorts, from the previous cohorts, from the facilitators. On my phone, I reach out to them. I've been to their homes. We've been to social events mm-hmm. together. I run ideas by them, and you know they have your back. So, mm-hmm. And I really needed that. That's something I was looking for.
And I also want to add to that, that what's really great about us as an organization is that after PLTI, we still focus on the alumni. This year, we have taken the opportunity to really focus on our alumni and program development. And so we created different events and activities and things that alum can come to either gain some resources or have opportunity to still fellowship, network one another. So it's just not like you just drop 21 weeks and then go, okay, see you later. No, it continues years on, you know, months after.
Well, one of the big questions our community is facing is who's involved. As I mentioned, Ricardo Adams just won one of the primary spots for the Rochester City School District. He's been on this program as a graduate of PLTI in the past and is obviously using what he's learned through PLTI there. And it's interesting. You know, he runs for the board because he wants to be a change agent in his own community and feels like, well, there's issues in the district. Meanwhile, there's this idea of a state takeover as a possible solution, which is probably the opposite of what we're seeing. And I'm not sort of saying that's good or bad. It's just observing. It's very different than a grassroots citizen running for a school board spot versus Albany stepping in. Anybody want to see? Do you want to see that, Aaron? Do you want to see a state takeover of the Rochester City School Board?
I can't necessarily speak on that right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're homeschooling right now, and you've dealt with a lot, I know, already. What do you think? What do you make of that, May?
I'm not comfortable with that because these are elected officials, democratically elected officials, and I think it shifts the focus from the real issues to that's a quick solution to and the issue. It's not the real solution.
Okay. What do you think, Manish?
I have to be honest. I have not really figured out what's the right solution because I've seen the city struggle with the disparity. I mean, just a few miles up from my daughter's school district, the city school district, and a night and day difference between the outcomes. But all my friends that are city school parents, I have not heard them say that they support it. They feel that this is something that if they were heard by the city, by the school district, and they were given an opportunity to participate, that they would want the autonomy and they know best what's good for their children.
Luba?
So I'm probably like Manish. I don't know what the answer is for that, but I do know that having parent involvement is very important. Having us be at that seat at the table is very important. And I think if city officials and the school districts begin to really realize the power of parents and what we can do and what we can say or bring to the table, then I don't think a New York State takeover is warranted. City officials and school officials have to begin to allow us to sit and have those conversations. And they have to trust that we know best, we understand best what's for our kids. We might not know everything, but we have an idea, we have a thought about it. And so I think that if districts begin to do that, a lot of these conversations about who's taking over and who's saying what more and whatever will be eliminated, because the table is filled with different types of people added, just like how we do for PLTI intentionally, right? So as Manish said, I have friends who are the city school district who do not support it, and they give their reason why. They feel like we need a voice to be there.
Well, if you want to kind of strengthen your voice and sharpen your skills and learn a lot, PLTI is an option. The next group starts in October. But tonight, at what time?
At 5:30 p.m.
5:30 at the Kate Gleason Auditorium at the Central Library in Rochester. You can learn a lot more about what PLTI, the Parent Leadership Training Institute, is and what you can learn over the 21 weeks there. Sounds like a lot, but Monday nights and dinner, childcare. Mm-hmm. Well, not just childcare, child training.
Yes.
So I want to thank everyone for being here. If you don't see them tonight, I'm sure you'll see them in your communities. Luva Alvarez, Manish Dixit, May Abdullah, Aaron Taylor, thanks to all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And our thanks to all of the people involved with Connections today. Ron, Rob, Megan, I'm Evan. Talk to you tomorrow.